So, hey there, Mike.
Hello, sir.
Hi. And hello, Mr. Sean Blanc.
Hello.
Yay. we got Sean on. This is so cool.
I never know how to say the hello. It always feels like the most awkward moment of the entire podcast when you're a guest episode and they're like, and we have, you know, Sean Blanc with us. Hello, Sean. Hi. I mean, it just always feels awkward.
Well, and it never sounds as good as Mike's, right? I mean, that's the problem with doing a podcast with a young British chap with a very soothing tone is that your hello never sounds as good as his hello.
It's true.
Thank you.
Yeah. We Americans, we're so uncouth. We need an accent, we Americans.
I'm pretty sure you do have one.
No, a lot of them. Yeah, we have way too many of them. And all of them sound like we've been here too long. But don't even get me started. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really well, Patrick. How are you guys doing?
You know, we're doing okay. You know, I had this whole like laundry list of things that, you know, oh yeah, I want to talk about this and minimalism this and, you know, simplicity that and, you know. You know, all that stuff that, like, people expect me to talk about on this podcast, but I think I've only done so maybe two or three times.
Yeah. I've called it enough because people are now saying, right, that's enough.
You guys preemptively named it enough because you knew after a while people would have had enough.
It would have been enough. That was enough for me, thank you.
But, I mean, the thing is that what a lot of people don't understand is that all of this stuff is just about life and it's all connected, and that, you know, every one of us is just trying to get through this thing, you know, the 100 years or so that we have, you know, give or take 20 years, you know, just try to do it the best way we can with as little friction as possible, and, you know, doing the best we can for the people that we have commitments to, that we've made promises to, our children, our spouses, and more importantly, ourselves.
And I've always said, no matter what the topic, I can guarantee you that Pat will be able to link it back.
Oh, there's no question.
But you just did it. You literally just did it. It's a talent. It is a talent.
Yeah, well, I have so few, I might as well be proud of the ones I have.
Just a one-string fiddle.
Yeah.
Well, minimalism right there. We're talking about fiddles with just one string, right?
Exactly.
That's simplicity? Is that how you tie it all back?
Yeah. Have you ever seen the documentary It Might Get Loud? Which is, it's not really a documentary as much as it is just...
It's about guitar. It's about the Edge, right? And different guitar players.
Yeah. So it's the Edge, and it's
Jack White.
Jack White of the White Stripes, and the Raconteurs, and the 30 other bands he's involved with. He's got as many bands as I have websites. Who's the other person in it? Jimmy Page.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't it Jimmy Page?
I don't know. I actually haven't seen it. I just remember the trailer.
Yeah, I watched the trailer a couple of times on iTunes. I also have not seen it.
So for your purposes, Sean, it's available on Netflix streaming.
Thank you.
For my purposes, I have to buy it.
It's
Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page, The Edge, and Jack White.
Yeah. So, it opens up with this really great scene. Jack White basically, you know, picks up this stick, right? Picks up this box. He takes this string and he, you know, he pounds this nail into the middle of it and he wraps it around and he nails it to this box and then he wraps the string around the other end and, you know, just a single string. And then he, like, you know, wires some pickup onto it and plugs it into an amplifier and plays this totally rad slide guitar solo on this single string.
You just add enough distortion and it sounds great.
Exactly, right?
That's what the Edge has done for years.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right? But, you know, it's... because what's interesting is that it is really the study about all of their various styles, right? You know, Jimmy Page coming from a more traditional, you know, 12-bar blues style. Jack White coming from this very... this very kind of grungy, do-it-yourself, stripped-down simplicity style. And then you've got, you know, The Edge, who, you know, he hasn't met an effects cabinet he hasn't liked. And so, you know, he's got, like, this, you know, this completely different sound. And that for him, you know, the guitar is simply just one part of the arsenal of making, creating this this universe of sound that he's doing. And so it's kind of this interesting, you know, going from that kind of, you know, I can make a guitar with one string all the way up to, you know, I can pretty much play an entire band without needing anyone else of the Edge. And kind of saying, okay, but all of this stuff all ties back to the same root, and you can get these guys together in the same room, and they're all talking about the exact same thing, but the way that they approach it and what they bring to it is what makes it different, right?
Have you ever seen Spinal Tap?
No. Oh, okay, yeah, of course, Spinal Tap, yes.
There's a scene in there where I don't remember the guy's name, but he's the guitar player, and he's doing the solo. And he's got his electric guitar, and then he's also got a violin, and he's got another electric guitar on the stand in front of him. Yes. And then he starts playing his electric guitar with the violin while he's strumming the other electric guitar with his foot. And then he stops, and there's just noise, and it's horrible. There's noise, and it's hilarious. And then all of a sudden he kind of stops and, like, cocks his eyebrow. And, wait a minute, this violin's out of tune. He tunes it, and then, there we go, goes back to...
It goes back to the noise.
That's right? Great. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, I think that...
That has nothing to do with minimalism, by the way. It's just a funny scene.
Give it a second. Pat might be able to bring that back around.
All right.
Well,
go on, give it a go.
I actually can. and because I think it's important, an important reminder, and I've said this so many times, and it seems like I say it about once a month on the site, you know, that it really is, you know, all of this stuff is just a means to an end, and it has, you know, if you're spending all of your time reading about minimalism, reading about simplicity, and trying to strip things down and trying to tinker and stuff like that, you're just as bad off as the person who is, you know, basically facing a wall of clutter.
But I thought you wanted us to spend all of our time reading Minimal Mac.
No.
That only one site, that's the idea of minimalism. Just go that
just,
one.
Just the one.
Okay. Yeah. Gosh, you guys are so hard on me. No.
We're being good to you.
I want people to come to the site, browse it. Maybe they see something that resonates with them and that's interesting to them and that changes their game just a little bit, makes them think a little bit. Or maybe even just, you know, just kind of, you know, wow, that's interesting, or wow, that's beautiful, or wow, you know, that's a thoughtful idea. And then take away, go, apply that stuff, you know, don't, you know, if you're spending all your time reading and not doing, then what's the point of the reading, you know?
It's like Merlin Mann said, the joining a Facebook group about creativity is like sitting in a chair about jogging.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's an awesome quote. Sean, well, do you have an ethos for your site like Pat does for his?
An ethos?
Yeah.
Like your Mac simplified?
No, like the way that like Pat's saying about how he likes people to just come to the site and browse around and hopefully get something out of it.
Yeah, I hope that happens too, that people come to my site. It'd be great.
Just that's it. That's all Sean wants is people to go to his site.
Well, you know, I mean, okay, that brings us to another.
That's
would
pretty
it be nice
start.
If they maybe if they like the site, maybe they purchase one of your fancy new memberships? I mean, would that be a nice goal to have?
Yeah, the new memberships are very fancy. That would be great. No, I think that I think from my side, if I just get from my side, the ethos is I don't really know what ethos means, but I want to really write really, really well in a way that I am proud of and am, it feels clear. And then if some other people are interested in reading that, I'm not so much interested in a lot of people showing up as I am in. I mean, I would like a lot of people show up, obviously, duh. I mean, it's the internet, right? But people that are show up that are interested in what I have to say and that are actually going to read it, pay attention, and have a community and a dialogue conversation around that, which is kind of part of the reason that I did the membership thing. I mean, obviously, primarily, I did it to help launch me into being able to do the site full time. Helps pay for that. But also, it kind of was a way to build a tight kind of a core community of like true fans where there's a sort of a deeper place of conversation and community. So, cause that's what I like, having the community and the camaraderie, you know, friendship with the people that are reading the site as much as I can do, as much as it's scalable, obviously.
All right. So, you know, one of the things that I, you know, like about your model and, kind of other models I've seen surrounding this, and you know, I think we've reached a new age on the internet where and what's interesting about the new age is that it is has similar ideas and practices as an old age, which is the idea of patronage, and in, you know, keeping with the minimal theme of this show, the alleged minimal theme, you know, the idea of micro patronage, you know, that, you know, whereas, you know, patronage of old, you would have a, you know, a very wealthy person or maybe a king or, you know, someone of stature who would, you know, take on an artist that whose work he liked, and, you know, house that artist, feed that artist, and, you know, and pay for his general well-being. You know, in return, that artist would create beautiful works of art for that person. That there's a, you know, kind of a similar trend that's now beginning with the internet, where people are finally able to embrace the idea that not all content should be necessarily free, and that, you know, at least to a, you know, to a certain level of audience, they want a more personal and engaged experience. They want to feel like they are supporting the work that they love and getting a unique experience in return. And that's kind of what your model sets up and allows for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. The micro patronage. I think for one, I don't know if there's anyone on the website that wants to give me several thousand dollars a month. I mean, if they're out there, I would gladly accept. But, you know, it's the idea that, yeah, a couple bucks a month, not a big deal. And then you make it up in mass. It helps make impulse decision. People are like, hey, you know, $3 a month. Cause that's all it is. It's just $3 a month. And, it allows, it's easy. It's an easy decision because kind of the biggest jump for someone to support someone else online or to buy something or whatever is that jump from zero to one penny that's the biggest jump. And if someone's willing to give a penny, then, you know, they'll give a buck, $2, $3. And so it's kind of that lower threshold where it's an impulse decision for someone that's actually interested. If they're not going to pay, it doesn't matter how cheap it is.
Right.
If they are, then I wanted to make it as easy of a decision as possible. Like, are you going to join and become a member or not? And if the answer was yes, then I wanted there to be zero more or no more friction after that initial yes or no. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the other thing too is, you know, I really like the idea of, and you mentioned it before, the idea of community to a certain extent. The people who make that choice to become a member, feel, you know, like they're not just, you know, they're not just helping Sean, but that they're buying into, you know, a community or a, you know, a club, as it were.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people that have, you know, let me know that they became members in part because they want to support me, but also because they simply have that philosophical belief that people that work should be, you know, like writers should be paid for the work that they do. And so in part, they're supporting me because they like my writing and want to help me continue to be able to write. But also they're going, you know what? I just believe that writers should be paid. And so I want to just put my money where my mouth is and I'm going to send $3 your way.
Yeah. But how much of it do you also think is, you know, like I can, you know, I can say to Mike, you know, oh yeah, I'm a member of Sean Block's site. Yeah, me too. You know? And, you know, and the you know, just being able to have the, you know, the patch, as it were, you know, that you could say, yeah, he's, you know, he's like me, you know, he's reading the same things I am and he believes in the same things I do. You know, I think that there might be a certain value that comes from that.
Yeah. I probably won't sell patches, but I've thought about selling t-shirts.
T-shirts are good. T-shirts. People have t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
For me,
I'm down with the mugs, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, mugs would be a great idea for you, Sean.
You have no idea how expensive it is to ship a mug. That's the problem I'm facing right now. It's
expensive.
Right. And then I would still, it would just pay for shipping even still. Unless you guys want to.
$50 per mug.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should. It reminds me. I should send you a picture and show you the mugs that my friend Chank got. Chank of Chank Fonts. If you go to chank.com, he makes some wonderful fonts. And he's a longtime friend. But he recently got a new logo and he's getting it branded. He has it on T-shirts and he got these mugs and these mugs are they're really spiffy. They really look great. I got to send you one.
Sweet.
It'll only cost you $600 to send it to him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I would imagine, you know, Mike, it's nothing like, you know, like shipping in the UK or shipping to the UK for me. I mean, you know, it's certainly not inexpensive, especially when you're dealing with customs and VAT and all the other stuff that you guys have to deal with.
Well, you're just so nice to me and send me awesome T-shirts.
Well, and trying to the big thing for me is trying to keep the coffee hot during shipping.
Have you tried the Contigo mugs?
I haven't even heard of them.
Oh, dude. Okay, totally linking in the show notes and totally going to send you the link. So I got a couple of these for my wife. And, God, who is it who's a big fan? Is it Marco? I mean, it's one of the Read and Trust people, I think, that's a big fan of these.
There's only a few of us that like coffee on Read. It's Marco, Brett, and me that are the big
coffee nuts. It's Marco who I learned about these mugs from. I could be wrong, but so the Contigo is a travel mug that has got a vacuum seal. The thing is spill proof,
mm-hmm.
and keeps the coffee ridiculously warm for hours.
So it's like a thermos, basically.
It's like a thermos,
yeah,
but better. Because it's a mug and you can drink out. My wife has a couple of these and she loves them. Because
so you don't have to screw the lid off and then pour it into the lid and then drink out of the lid. You can just drink right out of the mug.
You can drink right out of the. Yeah, exactly. You can drink. There's a little button and the button releases the vacuum seal. And as a matter of fact, it's like one of those things where you have to. There's a trick to drinking out of these things because. If you tip it and then press the button, you'll get a mouthful of hot air at first, right? Because it really is like a vacuum sort of seal. So you kind of have to press the button and then bring it to the mouth and tip it up, right? But the reason my wife loves this is because my wife, like, can throw this into her bag. I mean, literally toss it in there, and it can jumble all around or whatever, and the coffee doesn't spill anywhere.
That's great.
I just on their website, and they do a water bottle with a compartment in it to put money and cards. How peculiar.
Well, you know, for some of those folks that, you know, are...
liquid. Love running around like you do, Pat.
Well, it's for the liquid assets, right?
Oh, man.
That's bad.
You guys, I'm on a roll.
You are. You really are.
So I'm just saying, you can get some custom-made Contigo mugs, fill them with coffee, ship those suckers, and I can guarantee you that the coffee will still be at least warm by the time it reaches its destination.
That's great.
And won't spill a drop.
All right. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah. They're expensive as hell, though. I think on Amazon you can get like a two-pack for like $30 or something like that.
That's not bad.
$15 a piece. Yeah. So the other thing I wanted to talk with you a little bit about before, you know, we kind of wrap up this episode, because we're running out of our normal time length. It's surprisingly enough the question I'm going to ask you about is your Sean Today podcast. So people, when you become a member of the site, you get like access to a special RSS feed where you produce these little recordings, most often video sometimes, which are great because we get to see your highly electric smile.
Thank you.
Those who have never seen Sean in person, he has a beautiful smile. And, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that he knew I was straight, he would be worried. But the so one of the things I like about those is that, like us, you try to kind of keep them short. And, you know, so for those folks that, like, don't have a lot of time to listen to podcasts and, you know, or like kind of shorter podcasts and don't want to invest themselves in like an hour-long podcast, I mean, it's really great. You discuss all sorts of topics.
Yeah, I think one of the things that helps make it easier to keep the Sean Today broadcast short is that I do it every single day. Well, I do it Monday through Friday. So a lot of times with the show, it's easy for a podcast to go long because you've got three or four topics you want to hit in that one episode, whereas I'll just do one topic. And if that topic takes me 5 minutes or 10 minutes, then that's the length of the show, and then I'm done. And just try to keep it. And the point that I'm trying to keep is not so much that every single episode is something really groundbreaking, life-changing, mind-blowing, etc. It's the consistency of it. And it's almost like there's a daily conversation where each day sort of picks up from the previous day and continues a little bit. And so sometimes they're technical, sometimes they're about design or creativity, sometimes they're simply about life or what's going on just in my personal life or ideas that I have. So there's really no rules. It's just, you know, Sean, it's just me. And it's what's going on that day. And then as each day just leads to the next. And so that having that sort of mindset towards it has helped make it easier to keep them short. Because there's no pressure. Each episode doesn't have to have something special in it. Because I know if something comes up, I'll just talk about that tomorrow. And then I do. And then I've got something to talk about the next day. So,
well, and one of the things I like about it is that oftentimes it's kind of either further thought about a post that you've recently written, or it's, you know, thoughts about, you know, something you're working on writing a lot of times. And so sometimes you get a little bit of a sneak preview or that it's kind of whatever just happens to be on your mind for the morning. You know, once again, it's that kind of feeling like, you know, like you're going deeper with a, you know, with an audience that cares, right? By paying the $3, you know, someone has indicated to you that, yes, I not only care about your site and about your writing, but I'm interested in having an even deeper conversation about you, about some of these things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Even
if that conversation is one-sided, you know?
Right. It's interesting because I've gotten a ton of positive feedback about the show. About 90-95% of the members are subscribed to it, and about 75% of people listen to it actively every day. So which I think is pretty high adoption rate.
That's huge. That is huge.
And at first I was like, after a couple of weeks, I've been doing it almost 2 months now. And I was like, man, the feedback from this is really positive. And there was that feeling of like, I was wrestling with this for a little bit of thinking, man, maybe I should put it out there and make it public and let everyone listen to it. Cause there's, you know, it's only a fraction of the people that actually visit the site and are readers of the site that are actually members. And so there's that smaller, and I was like, man, it'd be cool to really get this out there and share it with everybody. But then I started thinking about that more, and it's like, you know what, probably the reason that there is such a high, positive feedback rating or whatever it is I'm looking for.
And listening.
Right. So many people that enjoy it and listen to it. Probably the reason that percentage is so high is because it's the members that are listening to it. It's already that core group of people that are interested and engaged. And if I were to open it up to everybody, then you're going to end up with a lot of people that aren't interested in listening to me talk every day, aren't interested in another daily podcast that they have to subscribe to, and are only interested in actually reading the stuff that I write. And probably there'd be more negative feedback. So in a way, keeping it members only is like sort of preemptively firing the people that wouldn't be interested in it anyways. The guys that are going to go, because I usually bring a cup of coffee in with to the office with me when I record the show. And so I'll have that and, you know, be sipping on the coffee, and I get a few people that are like, hey, that's kind of gross.
Why don't you share?
Right. Trying to figure that out better. But chances are the negative feedback or the criticism of the show would go up exponentially if it was available to anyone and everyone, because then a lot of people that aren't as connected and engaged with what I'm doing on the site and with what I'm writing and interested in me as a writer and me as a creative guy beyond just what sort of things I link to or what sort of things I have to say, then there'd be probably a lot more negative feedback. So keeping it members only has proven actually to be a pretty good model. It really is generating. I get a lot of emails, a lot of tweets and stuff like that. I'll mention something on the show, and then throughout the day, I'm getting emails from people. Hey, you know, you should check this out, or here's what I thought about that, or this episode really touched me, and here's why, and some just a lot of really cool feedback. And I think that would be lost if it wasn't a members only broadcast.
If I can just link back quickly to something that you mentioned before, because I know that Patrick's probably trying to stop me now from talking.
No, go ahead.
What I quite like about Sean today is that it makes me want to continue to be a member. You know, I'm always going to anyway, Sean, because I love you and you're awesome. But because I'm getting to know the person behind the website. And for me, that's what's really important. I'm happy to support anyone that, you know, that needs the support in regards to going full-time or whatever, if I believe in that person or feel that that person is a human, which is why I think that maybe an individual site has more chance of getting memberships than one where as a team of, say, 6, 7, 8 people, because it's that personal feeling that you get from knowing that I'm supporting Sean, and here is Sean talking to me every day and thanking me by doing this broadcast.
Yeah,
I like to think that if the articles I write were like a DVD of a movie, then the Sean today would sort of be like the director's commentary or the behind the scenes making of.
Yeah.
Of that movie. It's the, like Patrick, like you said, a lot of times I'll give the thoughts, you know, post an article that I've written afterwards. I'm thinking, here's what I was thinking about that, or working out the ideas ahead of time before I actually write the article. And so you get a lot of that behind the scenes and stuff, which I think is really cool. I think it's fun. It definitely gives that personal touch, and I enjoy doing it, and it's fun. So
very cool. Well, you know, we should wrap this one up for now, but I know you're going to, I'd like to have you join us as well in the next episode so we can continue just a couple of other topics of conversation. But so for now, you know, where can we find you, Sean? Sean Blanc, of course, seanblanc.com.
.net.
Net, sorry.
Well, Oh, I have the .com too, but yeah, SeanBlanc.net. And then I'm on Twitter just as at SeanBlanc.
All right. Very cool. And, you know, seriously, folks, if you're not reading SeanBlanc, you're really missing out. The stuff he writes is perhaps amongst the best on the web. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's stuff that's compelling at all, you know, seriously, $3, same price as a good cup of coffee, as Sean likes to say, that's a bargain, and it really does help to support what he does, as well as it gives you kind of access into the, you know, some of the stories and some of the things behind the writing, which is great. So thanks for coming on, Sean, and you know, thank you, Mike, as always.
Pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. We'll talk later.
We will. Bye-bye.
Cheers.